We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You done us wrong.
Home Depot, Target, Dick's Sporting Goods, Staples, PetSmart, Sears, Lowe's, Walmart. What do all of these companies have in common? They sell products to the middle class. Lately, however, these retailers have not been selling a whole lot of their wares to middle class consumers. Not only did they reveal disappointing top line revenue numbers in the first quarter, sales weakness has been evident in April and May as well. Conventional writers in the financial media have been blaming lower than anticipated sales and unusually harsh weather in the first few months of 2014. Unfortunately, that notion does not even stand up to the mildest of scrutiny. For one thing, the snowstorms have disappeared, while the retailers continue to flounder. Equally telling, stock shares of high-end retailers like Tiffany and Nordstrom have been skyrocketing on better-than-expected profitability. At the same time, however, brand name corporations that serve the middle class are witnessing an erosion in their share prices. This deterioration can be seen when one compares an exchange-traded fund like Market Vectors Retail, ticker symbol RTH, with a broader benchmark like the S&P 500. RTH is getting creamed. Retailer shares notwithstanding, the S&P 500 is notching record highs. One might think that the retrenchment in middle-class spending would give stock investors pause. After all, how many times do we hear that the consumers represent 70% of the domestic economy? Perhaps the greatest irony derives from the recent realization that overall consumer spending actually grew 3.1% between January and March. Out of one side of their mouths, spin doctors speak about weather conditions adversely impacting consumption at major retail stores. And yet, out of the other, the increases in consumption are a sign that Americans are feeling more confident about the future. That doesn't make any sense. Never mind the fact that the overall economy actually shrank 1% in the first quarter. Never mind the actuality that overall consumption is attributable to greater healthcare costs and monstrous heating bills. If middle-class Americans were truly feeling more confident, we'd see discretionary dollars being used at marts like Walmart and PetSmart, as well as home improvement stores like Home Depot and Lowe's. From an investment standpoint, one should avoid ETFs like Market Vectors Retail and Spider Select Sector Consumer Discretionary, ticker symbol XLY. What about the broader U.S. stock market? The noteworthy decline in bond yields offers sufficient cover to pick up a bit more broad market exposure on down days. Americans may or may not be feeling confident about the future, but they certainly respond to lower borrowing costs. Remember when every Tom, Dick, and Gary insisted that interest rates were going to rise in 2014? Well, not every Gary. There are a few of us who expected rates to fall. I was one of them. I wrote an article called Against the Herd, Lower Rates, Not Higher Rates in 2014. Keep in mind, the U.S. Federal Reserve is holding on to roughly 40% of all U.S. treasuries over 5 years in maturity. Even with tapering, the Fed is still acquiring an astounding chunk of sovereign debt in existence, with the current pace of bond buying at $45 billion per month. It follows that there are not a whole lot of bonds left out there for foreign governments, global investors, pensions, and private citizens. Even modest demand for safety or yield can move the needle when supply is limited. Prices go up and yields go down. U.S. stocks as an asset class are likely to hold up for as long as the Fed can engineer a low interest rate environment. With the 10-year now at 2.45% and falling, even recent declines in real estate sales may reverse themselves. Cheaper mortgage payments would improve affordability. Still, my preference on U.S. assets is to own value. I simply cannot wrap my head around the exorbitant prices that some have been willing to shell out for the Twitters and Teslas. I prefer the dividend-producing technology corporations that trade at venerable discounts to the broader S&P 500, companies like Oracle, Microsoft, and Apple. These are the old technology leaders that you can get when you own First Trust Technology Dividend, ticker symbol TDIV. Growth, of course, is still worth owning, but growth only at reasonable prices. That means you should be looking overseas in your ETF selection process. You can get a basket of profitable Asian corporations for a price that you might have paid 3 years ago. I favor iShares MSCI Asia, excluding Japan, ticker symbol AAXJ. Now, I'd like to take you back to the summer of 2011. The U.S. Congress struggled with the decision to raise the debt ceiling. The PIGS, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain, had dramatically overspent, endangering the existence of the Eurozone. Stocks cratered, the CBOE S&P 500 Volatility Index soared, and the Spider Gold Trust, GLD, catapulted 26% in a matter of 6 weeks. Flash forward to the summer of 2014, where we are today. Tensions have flared up between Russia and Ukraine, but the conflict has had little direct impact on stocks. Even fewer seem concerned about the sustainability of country debt in Europe. What's more, gold bearers have hammered the idea that the yellow metal might serve as a safe haven against political turmoil, or inflation, or electronic money printing. Do precious metals bears have a point? Well, they might. Investors have not rushed into iShares Silver, SLV, or Spider Gold Trust, GLD, in response to recent events in Crimea or Syria. In addition, increases in quantitative easing by the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan, as well as the Bank of England, did not result in rapid price appreciation for precious metals proxies. On the contrary, the long-term downtrend for funds like ETF's Physical Precious Metals Basket, ticker symbol GLTR, remains intact. The poor 3-year performance percentages on precious metals notwithstanding, is it proper to dismiss gold and silver altogether? Probably not. For one thing, calendar year-to-date returns for a variety of precious commodity assets have demonstrated signs of perking up. In fact, the returns are still competitive with broader stock market indices. Are precious metals ETFs in better shape than most people think? Well, they might be. ETF's physical palladium, ticker symbol PALL, up 16.5% year-to-date. ETF's physical platinum, PPLT, up 6.4% year-to-date. Spider Gold Trust, up 4.8% year-to-date. PowerShares DB Precious Metals, DBP is the ticker symbol, 3.5%. Only silver is down on the year. And the S&P 500, of course, the SPY, up about 4%. What about the recent slide in prices? A number of analysts note that gold is historically weak in the May-June period. It follows that if Spider Gold Trust, ticker symbol GLD, can stay on the positive side going into July, it might very well be an exceptionally bullish sign for the rest of 2014. Perhaps most importantly, precious metals bears have forgotten the link between emerging market growth and gold. Rolling 5-year correlation coefficients for the S&P 500 and the yellow metal are basically non-existent, zero. Fans of diversification might actually prefer non-correlated assets such as GLD and SPY in their portfolios. Yet the same coefficient between iShares MSCI Emerging Markets, ticker symbol EEM, and GLD is closer to 0.35. Granted, that relationship is not particularly strong, but it is relevant. Strength in emerging market assets in the previous decade, where the global growth theme relied heavily on China and India, played a role in precious metal price appreciation. Weakness in the emerging markets over the last 3 years, however, has played a role in precious metal price depreciation in this decade. In sum, weak Asian demand coupled with seasonality factors may be taking some of the shine off of precious metals, gold in particular. But in the second half of 2014, precious metals could see a pickup in Asian demand. Indian citizens recently elected pro-growth, pro-business leaders into power. Meanwhile, copper prices have been steadily recovering on the notion that China, the world's largest consumer of copper, is likely to see stimulus measures soon. In other words, if Asia gets its act together, you may very well see gold tick higher, quite a bit higher, in the second half of 2014.
One of the best books that you will ever read is The Millionaire Next Door. What made The Millionaire Next Door so terrific was the reality that anyone could achieve financial freedom without taking unnecessary risks. My name is Gary Gordon, president of Pacific Park Financial. Smart, balanced ETF investing, that's what I do. I manage tens of millions of dollars for hundreds of families with care, consideration, and purpose. If you'd like to learn more about smart, balanced ETF investing, then give me a call. 888-500-GARY. That's 888-500-4279. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ETFExpert or read my daily commentary at www.etfexpert.com.